Y'all pardon me, I'm not used to these things on my ears. I feel like I ought to be flying an airplane or something. I told Leo I wanted a lapel mic, and apparently in the Marines, this is your lapel. Just bear with me, I'll be all right. I'm like a mule about my ears. I can't stand nothing messing with them. And I've been told I'm like a mule in a lot of other ways, too. But we ain't gonna talk about that right now. Excuse me. We've been hearing a lot about Abraham this morning. And, you know, when Carolyn gave me the scriptures and all for today, I noticed it was a lot about Abraham. And I got to thinking about, well, why? And, you know, we have to remember back, way back to the very first, you know, our Old Testament reading was in the very early part of Genesis, after the Garden of Eden, when Abraham was told by God, I want you to pick up and I want you to move over here to this other place. And you're going to be the father of nations. You're going to be, and you and your descendants are going to bless the world. And you know, I have to think about what that must have made Abraham feel like. I know it's always been scary to me to have to, when I had to start a new job or do something different. And I think about when I was farming, how the, over the years it's evolved from local help to migrant help on the farm. And I always admired how those guys and women too would leave their home, go to another country where you don't speak the language that well, you don't know the customs that well, nobody knows you, nobody cares about you, and you just go to try to make a living for your family. And to me that takes a lot of faith, a faith that I believe is stronger than I could show. To say, you know, okay, I'm going, it'll be all right, I'll make it somehow. Well, Abraham had to have that kind of fear when God told him, I want you to go over here. Because, you know, in that part of the world, in that time especially, and, you know, in all the older times, you could go 10 miles down the road and you might not ever live to see home again. You know, you didn't know what was going to face you. So it was a complete departure from everything comfortable and everything familiar. And Abraham somehow was able to say, okay, God, you know, I believe you're going to take care of me. I'm going. And it says, not in this passage that we read, but it's several times, it says when Abraham believed that God would look after him and obeyed, that God reckoned it as righteousness on Abraham's part. And it's often talked about the faith that Abraham had. You remember the time that God asked him to sacrifice his son Isaac. That was his only son. And you remember Abraham and Sarah had waited and waited and waited and given up before God told them they would have a son. And Isaac was that firstborn son who Abraham loved dearly. And you know, he was the apple of his eye. That was his life. And yet God tells him one day, you know, I need you to sacrifice your son. You know, they made sacrifices then, as so many cultures did at that time. And Abraham, I'm sure, if it had been me, I would have went somewhere and hid probably. But Abraham, you know, as bad as it hurt him, he said, you know, God has led me this far. God has looked after me. He told me that if I obeyed him, I would be rewarded. The whole world would be rewarded. So I'm going to do what he says, even though it hurts. Well, of course, we know the story. It's a familiar story in the Bible. God stopped him. But God was proud of Abraham's faith. He was proud of Abraham's righteousness. And, you know, the righteousness part is simply obeying God. You know, the faith that kind of explains itself is you believe. And you have to believe without knowing what's coming is you just believe it's going to be all right. You believe that God is going to lead you the right way. Well, Abraham did that, and it pleased God. Because Abraham was able to say, okay, God, you know, you made everything. You're in charge. I'll believe you. I'll do what you say. And I thought it's interesting that the second scripture that we talk about, the one that I read about in John chapter 3, the story about Nicodemus. And we're all, you know, familiar with that one, and we've heard it and read it many times. And, you know, I got to thinking about, well, what does that got to do with Abraham and faith? And there's so many of these stories that, you know, I got the King James Bible, and when it's written in red, you know, that's Jesus talking. I always was taught when I was little, when it's written in red, you got to pay real close attention to it. And when Jesus tells something, especially when he's explaining something to an individual, to the disciples, a lot of time, what it seems like the story is about is not really what it's about. And what Jesus, you know, he's talking about being born again, but I think the most important point of this conversation he has with Nicodemus is that Christ is telling him, you know, y'all have been told all this stuff and you still don't believe it. You've seen and you don't believe it. So Nicodemus is saying, you've got to be from God. God sent you down here. You're working all these miracles. You're making all this stuff happen. And he said, and Nicodemus was like so many of the Jews who believed in the coming of the Messiah, but it was a social and political Messiah. It was not a spiritual Messiah that they were looking for. And, you know, we have to realize that they've been taught all this for many years. So Nicodemus and many of the other Jews believe that Christ was going to be this Messiah. God was giving him the power to work all these miracles. They would overthrow the Romans. The Israelites would be on top of the world again. And you got to remember, and I think Christ got a little bit disgusted with him at this time. And sometimes it seems like he almost loses patience with some of these people. And he says, you know, you're a leader, and Nicodemus was a Pharisee. He was a teacher. He was one of the spiritual and community leaders. And Jesus says, you're a leader of the Israelites. You're a teacher, and you don't know what I'm talking about. He said, how can y'all have seen all this? Everything you've seen, everything you've been told about that's happened in the world, and you still don't believe, you don't understand. You know, what's it going to take to make you believe? And what Christ was talking about, and we talked about this in Sunday school in the Willing Workers class this morning. Any of you that weren't there, you missed a good lesson that Donna Rose gave, but she was talking about how the Old Testament gives hints of what's coming. You know, it's full of prophecies, and there are a lot of books that are just the prophets, but almost every book and chapter in the Old Testament is leading up to what's coming in the New Testament, which is Christ coming to redeem the earth. And Nicodemus and all those Pharisees had been drilled in all this Old Testament stuff all their lives, and yet they didn't see it. They're waiting for something earthly, something political to come. They're not seeing what Jesus is here for. They're not seeing what the whole Old Testament was talking about, that God is bringing his kingdom through Christ and from Christ through us. And so Jesus tells them, you know, y'all have seen all this stuff and you don't understand. And what he meant was, you've got all this Testament, you've got all this teachings, you've seen all this stuff, you've learned about all this stuff, and you still don't understand that. So how can you expect me to explain to you anything about God if you don't understand the basics you've been taught? And, you know, I think poor Nicodemus, he never really got the point. And he's like all of us. It's hard for us to believe if we can't put it in human terms. You know, I know people today who still do not believe that we ever put a man on the moon because they can't comprehend how it could be. If they could fly up and touch it and see it, they believe it. But I know people who don't believe. So it's hard for us to believe things that we can't put our hand on and touch It's got to be in human terms for us to believe it. Well, you know, the whole faith thing is about believing what we cannot understand. And what Christ was telling, was fussing at Nicodemus really about was, you know, y'all can't have enough faith to believe. And going back to Abraham, well, Abraham did have enough faith to believe. And you know, Abraham didn't have the years of teaching that Nicodemus and his peers had, which should have made it a little bit easier for them to believe, but they didn't. And Abraham, and again, the reason that God favored him and thought so much of him was because he believed. And he acted on his faith, which made it him righteous. And so what does all that mean, really? It's an example that I think is pertinent right now in the world, and it's been interesting to me to see the current Pope, Pope Francis. And he's apparently irritating a lot of people, if you believe what's on the news and in the paper, because he's kind of throwing tradition aside. He's reaching out to those who would normally be overlooked, and it's upsetting some people. And Pope Francis, I believe, if I'm correct, his background is South American or Latin American. And those societies are very, very strictly stratified. Your social class, and in many, you know, we don't have that in this country very much. So those of us who didn't come over here from other countries don't really understand it, but most other societies is very stratified. If you're the poor working people, you stay that way. You're not even really considered as human by the upper classes. Well, most of the people running the Catholic Church and the Methodist Church and the Protestant Church and every other church in the world, the people that's running things, the politicians of the church, they're wealthy. They live in the top of society. You know, all the people in the Vatican, and I'm not criticizing anybody, I'm just saying this is what it is. You know, it's the human world that we live in. And these people on the top of society, so they tend to not think about the others that are down under at the bottom of society. Well, Pope Francis apparently is upsetting his security people and a lot of the Vatican leaders that he'll, you know, they got the armored Pope mobile like our president. Well, he jumps out of that. He goes off in the crowd. He wanders down the side streets and the alleys, and he talks to the poor people. And other issues that he has given opinions on, or he's been asked about. One big one that we all hear about is, you know, homosexuality, same-sex unions. That's in the news everywhere. That's a big controversy. And he was asked what he thought about that. And we know that most church doctrine, especially the Catholic Church doctrine, is very strict about that kind of thing. Well, he said, when he was asked, "Who am I to judge?" He said, "I'm just a man." And he's given hints that he wants to open some things up and that he doesn't like a lot of the nitpicking rules and regulations that our organizations tend to be full of. He wants, it seems like he wants to do something for the people. Well, I think that's the kind of behavior that God will reckon as righteous. And that's what we all need to do better at, myself especially. We need to see other people that are different without judging them. We need to accept them. We're in a world now that's not insulated anymore like it used to be to us. You know, most of the other countries in the world have had armies march across them back and forth. People have been mixed in and out, and things, societies come and go. Well, in this country, we've been very fortunate since we began this country. We haven't had a lot of that. We have a lot of immigration, and our culture is getting varied. And the reason is because everybody wants to come here, because this is where you might have a chance. So many of these other places in the world, you don't have a chance. And, you know, we're fortunate that we got that, but it's not because we're so great. It's because God has blessed our efforts, I think, in this country. But, you know, righteousness would be accepting people without judging them. Just like Pope Francis was talking about those of different sexual orientations. He said, it's not for me to judge. He said, that's for God to do. Well, then, you know, judging is for God to do. It's not for us. We may not like what people do. We may not like what they look like, where they came from. But it's not for us to judge. You know, that is being righteous. And the only way you think you can really be righteous is to have faith. That faith like Abraham had, that it's God's world. You know, it's not ours, it's God's world. And I think that's what being faithful and righteous is about. And you know, as we're in the Lenten season now, and it's a time of, I guess, self-examination, self-denial, we talk about that. Well, you know, it's a good time to think about our faith, you know. How faithful are we? You know, how righteous are we willing to be? And you know, that to me is what, I mean, that's why we come to church, is to worship God, to learn to live in faith. And the prayer, if I can find it again, that in the prayer for illumination, about the next to last phrase, it says, in the faithfulness of our lives, may your word be shown. Amen. And that's, you know, that's what it's all about, being a Christian. That's what I think God reckons as righteousness. And you know, that's our duty to do that. And we're going to move now, I believe, into the closing hymn is the old rugged cross.